2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to share more of a testimonial verse. It's one of my life verses and my wife's life verse. And I'll just share a thought from that in the next few minutes. We'll get out on time for this Sunday school hour. And that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the skit. You don't do that every week, do you? And because that'd be a lot of effort there. That was pretty good. And then, of course, the singing. I enjoyed having all those kids up here. And a blessing. You know, that's the lifeblood of the church. It's the next generation preparing them to serve the Lord. And many of those young people, of course, come from homes that's why they're riding the bus, that mom and dad don't bring them. And I'm sure glad for a group of people to go out and get to that group of people. We have the same kind of church. Dr. Jorgensen, who has been here several times, many of you would know the name at least. He is a premier educator, and yet he loves kids. And he's involved with our bus routes, as mentioned. He goes out and visits on them probably once a week if he's in town, and then runs our college side of things. But that's the kind of leadership you have. They're trustworthy. They've been at it, same group for a long time. All those young people that stood up a minute ago, I was there while they were there, and Dr. Jorgensen was there. Brother Fugit was there. It's a good, stable leadership. We've added some good quality people to us as time's gone on, but we're glad to be a part of training young people like you've sent us, by the way. It's our privilege to do so, and we sure have enjoyed that. So do want you to think about it. Consider, talk to one of us, young people. If you have any questions, mom and dad, if you have any questions, feel free to talk to us about that. In 2 Peter. Now, in the Bible, open up somewhere. It's all good. In 2 Timothy is where we're at, chapter number 1. I'm going to read one verse here and go quickly through a truth from God's Word I think will be a blessing to you. It's in verse number 7, and the Bible says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing in the next few minutes here in this Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for all that's transpired. What an encouraging Lord, just to see the excitement of a church reaching young people, to see the excitement of the young people, Lord, and those that are actively involved in reaching this. Thank you for the songs. Lord, I pray that you'd use all of those things, Lord, now with your word to help us, Lord, draw closer to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse here says, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, these are motivators. This is what God uses to motivate us, and in opposition to what the devil will try to use to motivate us. God will motivate us, of course, to serve him. The devil wants to motivate us not to serve God. He doesn't necessarily have a plan for your life, a will. All he wants you to do is not do God's will for your life. And so he'll use the tactic or fear as his motivation to try to stop you from that. Now, sometimes I'll preach a message where I emphasize that part, and I won't do that today, but we all can be fearful of things and have been fearful of some things, and that has motivated us. If you can reflect back to the day that you were a little kid and, you know, you had to turn off the light yourself, and, you know, you sort of did it in one motion, turn, jump, and landed on the beds, you know, so that nothing under the bed would get you. You remember those kind of days? So different things motivated us. Sometimes it's things are worth fearing. I mean, I wouldn't want to have been out early in the morning this morning, would you? I mean, that was a pretty vicious storm that came through this morning. Some of you kids, you didn't know it happened, but it did. That's why it looks wet this morning. And anyway, but fear. Now, fear is a motivator, but it's not a motivator that we like. As a matter of fact, if we ever feel afraid of something, it may cause us to action or cause us to do something, but as soon as we can get out of the influence of that fear, we will. It's not the motivator that God will use, by the way. Right. Now, I understand that some people actually serve God in a spirit of fear, and I'm not going to go through that, but that's not his motivation. That's more the devil's motivation. The devil, like the storm that came this morning, sometimes he's a big old bully that's going to come right up in your face and threaten you that if you serve God, you're going to, and he's going to try to challenge you right up the bat, right in your face and say, you can't do it. And it'd be like a bully does, and you won't do this. No, you won't serve God. Sometimes he'll sneak his fear in. Sometimes he'll just whisper in your ear a little bit and get you nervous. It's that being fearful of the night or being fearful of something of the unknown. Now, the devil's going to try to keep you. By the way, I said young people. That's all of us, by the way. That's adults and stuff. But the fear of the unknown, some things we haven't experienced. We don't have to fear, no. We know we don't have to. We understand that if we've been saved for a while. But the devil will still use fear as an attempt to stop you and I from doing God's will. On the other hand, and this is what I want to emphasize in this class, God will motivate us in this way with these three characteristics, if you would. Power, love, and a sound mind. Now, notice the connectors there. It's not or, it's and. In other words, God uses all three of these areas to motivate us to serve Him. These are positives. These can motivate us and we can keep on going. With fear, it'll wear you down. That's why some kids, by the way, serve God while they're in mom and daddy's house, but as soon as they get out, they stop serving God. They've been only motivating for the fear of what would happen if I didn't. And he got tired of it. And as soon as they get a little bit old, get out on their own. And that's why we look at them and say, wonder why they turned away from God so quickly. Well, they had been serving God with fear. They did not allow God to motivate them to serve God through his motivators. These are all good. Power, love, and a sound mind. Power, it represents the ability to accomplish God's will in your life. Do you know that you can do what God wants you to do? We can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We don't have to be intimidated by the devil. He'll tell you, you can't. And by the way, we've had failures in our life, and he'll use those, and he'll bring those up and say, see, you blew it there. Wait a second. The just man will fall down, but what will he do? He will get back up again. And through the strength of God, we can face the same difficulties, the same trials, and have victory through Christ. We do not have to fail. Power is the ability to accomplish God's will. It is the ability to take a stand. Now this isn't preaching hour, and I've got to be done in just a few minutes, but you know, I'm tired of people just not taking a stand anymore. Right. We need to take a stand. Amen. Moms and dads, grandparents, I'm in that mode. I love it. That's a great mode. But it's not time for me to quit. I still need to take a stand. Grandkids need to know that Mama, Nana, and Papa aren't going to change. They need mom and dad to be able to take a stand. And the pressures of the world, and remember the intimidator, that old devil, he's going to try to stop all of us. We can just look old smutty face and say, or black, whatever that guy was, that was pretty scary there for a minute. I was a little nervous. Well, we don't have to worry about the devil, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can live for God. We can take a stand for right, and it's time that we do. It's time that we do in our workplaces. It's time that we do in our communities. We've had a conversation while being out on tour. We're just out with a few weeks with these guys. But at least four conversations from folks that were in the Methodist church that are leaving. And it was just sort of unique how they, you know, the conversations even came up. One of them was the other day while Mrs. Young was doing her favorite kind of soul winning at garage sales. And... she's a pretty good garage sales owner. If you can do both, that's all right, right? Yeah, she was talking to these folks. They said they were saved, but the fact is they were coming out of that church. They were tired of it. You know what happened to that church? Now, I know that you and I would see, there were some problems a while back, but they're coming out. Why? They've just tired of seeing a church and a denomination not take a stand anymore. Right. I mean, stand for basic Bible truth, folks. Right. Aren't you glad you're in a place that takes a stand? Yeah. But this is a place that takes a stand. You as an individual need to take a stand. Power gives you the ability to stand for right. It will give you the ability to withstand the devil. We're all going to get attacked, by the way. So we have to stand and we have to withstand. And then it also gives us the ability, don't forget, to charge the gates of hell. In other words, we're supposed to be on the offensive. Sometimes we think that we got to stand so that the gates won't attack us. Have you ever seen gates attack anybody? I mean, I've seen a few gates that have that heavy spring that sort of attack you when you come through. But no, I mean, gates, that's the devil's defense. We're supposed to be on the offensive. So power strengthens us to take a stand on right, to withstand when the difficulties come, and then to go ahead and let's go on the offensive. Let's go reach more kids for Christ. Let's go reach a community for Christ. Power, that's God's motivator. But there's also another one. Not separate, but with power comes love. Now, love represents the attitude to take in accomplishing God's will. Power gives us the strength to do it. Love is the attitude that we have to do it in. Think about this. Love is needed to cause a cohesion of the brethren, and love is needed to cause a concern for the unconverted. You know what our distinguishing factor is supposed to be as Christians, one to another, that the world takes note of? Our love one for another. Now, sometimes they know our stand on things, and they ought to know our stand on things, but they also ought to know our love. And it shows from you and I, one to another. This is where it starts. Why would I want to come to a place that's full of bickering and fighting and complaining? I can go to work for that. Right? Okay. I would have said I'd got married for that, but that's not true around our house. But the fact is that we realize that the world needs to see a difference in our lives and our attitudes one for another. Will we always be in complete unity? No, we are different people, and God made us that way. But with that in mind, you and I are supposed to love one another.
Right.
One of the things I hope these fellows are getting this on tour, one of the things I enjoy in traveling around is to see the commonality that you and I as Christians have together.
Yes.
We can walk into a place like this, feel at home, know the Spirit of the Lord is here. We just love this. We love it that our kids and grandkids are here. This is the kind of church we want them to be part of. But that ought to be, when we went to Africa to visit our daughter over there, we got to meet some of those folks in Africa. Guess what? There was a sweet commonality of the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
A love one for another. So we have to have the attitude of love while we serve. It also helps us have concern for the unsaved. In other words, without love, I could get where I just get so frustrated with the world, I just want to isolate. God didn't call us to isolation. He called us to separation. We're not supposed to be like the world, but not isolation. We've got to go reach the world. And unless you and I are motivated by love, we won't do that. Now, that's why God gives us power and love. And then I like this one, the sound mind. A sound mind means wisdom. Wisdom is that which keeps those other two in balance. Let me illustrate quickly, and we'll be done here on time. If I only am motivated by power alone, I could get to the point in time where I just, don't care about you much anymore. I'm going to do something for Christ, and I'm coming through like a bull in the china shop.
Right.
Boom, boom, boom. And if you're in my way, well, bless God, you better get out. You get that attitude.
Right.
Now, why would we get that attitude? We got to take a stand against the devil. We're always fighting him. But if we get to a point in time where we're just only motivated by, and you're in my way, I'll just run you over. I put it this way in my notes, power alone could crush. We're not all the same. We're not all the same spiritually. And if I get frustrated with you because you're not doing what I'm doing into the work of God, I can just say, forget you. No. How about encouraging someone to do that?
Amen.
Power alone would crush. On the other hand, love alone would compromise. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I mean, I love people. I'm trying to reach folks. So I'll stop taking a stand on anything.
Right.
Well, if we just kowtow and to the world and let them, their music influence us and their standard influence us and all these things, then we'll reach more people. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
More we get like the world, the more the world looks at us and says, they're just the same. There's no reason to change. So love alone could get to the point in time of compromise. This is where wisdom comes in and says, I'm going to keep the balance. In my own life, I hate sin. I'm taking a fight against sin. I'm going to take a stand against the devil. I could get so hard on that I could not only hate sin, I could start hating the sinner.
Right.
Love keeps me, or excuse me, wisdom keeps me in check. Oh, you got to love the sinners. Oh, yes, you got to love the sinners. Boy, we need to reach them. God loves them. We've got to love them. Oh, I don't want to be hard. I don't want to be harsh. Truth is what offends.
That's right.
So I can't get to the point in time where I just live over here. Wisdom keeps me in balance.
Right. Yeah.
Wisdom allows us to take a stand for sin and yet love the sinner.
Right.
Wisdom allows me to take that power motivator and love motivator and join it together. This may be why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 7, therefore get wisdom, with all thy getting, get understanding. I like this one in James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. In other words, he won't chide you and say, well, why don't you have that already? No. We're asking. God's ready to give. And we need God's wisdom so that we can take a stand against sin and yet love a sinner. This is the balance of the Christian life. By the way, this is what will keep you. If I was motivated only by fear, I would wear out after a while. I would. And you would too. But when we allow God to motivate us in his will and in his service with his motivators of power, love, and a sound mind or wisdom, then you and I can not only serve God today, we can serve God the rest of our life. We'll keep on going. You know what I enjoy seeing, especially as we come back, we'll visit places like this that we've been here before. You see the same people still doing the same thing. Oh, maybe not to the same degree that they could. I know we get older, we don't run as fast as we could. But you're still running.
Amen.
Or at least jogging.
Amen.
Or maybe even walking.
Right.
But you're still moving for God.
Amen.
Now you don't do that unless you're motivated by these God's motivators. So my challenge to you this morning is, young people, this is where you started, all of us. Let us be yielded to God's motivators. He wants what's best. He wants you and I to accomplish his will. We can do it through his power,
amen,
with his love, and wisdom that keeps it all in check.
Amen.
We're going to have a word of prayer, and I set out on time, maybe just a little bit late, but anyway, I got close. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for this truth. What a personal blessing it was in my life to realize that I didn't have to be motivated by fear, but Lord, that you're for me and you have what will motivate me, and not just motivate me, but give me that which will accomplish your will. Now I pray your blessing, Lord, as we transition to the next hour. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done in the first hour. Bless and be with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.